Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text 44. Tasman kasyachid droham acharet satatavida atmanat shemaman vichchan drug door vai parato bhayam tasmana kasyachid droham acharet satatavida atmana chemaman vichchan drug door vai parato bhayam tasmana kasyachid droham acharet satatavida atmana shemaman vichchan drug door vai parato bhayam. Vaishnavis, tasmat, therefore, na, not, kasyachit, of anyone, droham, envy, acharit, one should act, sa, a person, kangsa, tatavita, who has been advised in such a way, by Vasudev, atmana, his own, chemam, welfare, anvichchan, if he desires, drogdu, of one who is envious of others, vai, indeed, padata, from others. Bayam, there is a cause of fear. Translation. Therefore, since envious, impious activities cause a body in which one suffers in the next life, why should one act impiously? Considering one's welfare, one should not envy anyone. For an envious person must always fear harm from his enemies, either in this life or in the next. Purport. Instead of being inimical toward other living entities, one should act piously by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord, thus avoiding a fearful situation both in this life and in the next. In this regard, the following moral instruction by the great politician Chanakya Pandit is very meaningful. Chaja Durjana Samsargam Bhajasadu Samagamam Guru Punyam Aho Ratram Smaranityam Anityatam. One should give up the company of devils, demons, and non-devotees, and should always associate with devotees and saintly persons. One should always act piously, thinking that this life is temporary, and not be attached to temporary happiness and distress. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is teaching all of human society this principle of becoming Krishna conscious and thus solving the problems of life forever. Chakra deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. Om agyana chimirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshun militang yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sometimes it's thought that Vaishnavs are sentimental, they're escapists in that they couldn't handle the material world, and therefore, with no abilities, no competency, they took shelter of devotional service. Of course, if indeed there's a disaster, what's wrong with escaping it? If you're in a house that's on fire and you race out into the street, will the people there on the street welcome you by saying, "You're an escapist. Why are you escaping?" To escape a disaster is a sign of intelligence. I always tell the story, a true story, of one young lady devotee in New Zealand. She became a devotee when she was 21, and a few years later, her old friends, her old girlfriends, party friends, you know, they came to visit her at the center, and they freely admitted to her, "You know, you look happy, and we're really suffering. You gave up the party scene and all that, the hookup culture, the alcohol, you gave it all up, and you look happy. But we're better because we stuck to life. You escaped. You ran away. Even though we're suffering, we stick with it. You ran away. You escaped." Here at the end of the purport, Prabhupada is making... representing Lord Chaitanya, the most magnanimous proposal. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is teaching all of human society this principle of becoming Krishna conscious and thus solving the problems of life forever. But there's something nagging our minds that it's not possible to solve all the problems of life forever. That must be some kind of fairy tale existence. Krishna promises you, Tukta Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mameti Sorjuna. If you can understand him in truth, if you can understand his pleasure, his pastimes, his politics, how he appears in this world and then disappears from the vision of this world, then upon giving up the present body, Mamati. You come to him. That means you join him in the universe where he's having his pastimes. How can we resist such a most magnanimous proposal? We're representing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who actually did not canvass, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains. Lord Chaitanya did not go around so much in terms of trying to convince people. Yes, in interactions with Mayavadi Sannyasi, sometimes Lord Chaitanya would present the Shastra. But generally, he was not a canvasser. What do you mean? Didn't Lord Chaitanya order, wherever you go, whoever you meet, teach the science of Krishna? Didn't he travel throughout South India? But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura makes a very subtle point, but a very dramatic point. Lord Chaitanya was not exactly canvassing. He was giving it all away. He was just throwing it everywhere. Of course, he's ordered us to canvass, therefore we do it. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura's point is to understand the true depth of Mahavaranyavatar, as Rupa Goswami prays, Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. To understand how indeed there's no one more magnanimous than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, know that he was actually not canvassing, he was just flooding, just gushing, just pouring it everywhere to anyone. Yet still we are skeptical. Thus solving the problems of life forever? And as we started speaking in the beginning, some people, even our own devotees, sometimes think that there's no expertise within Vaishnavism. The real sign of your prowess is material accomplishment. Whereas as soon as you dedicate your life to the nine processes of devotional service, you leave competency and expertise behind. Just look at Vasudev's situation. It is a most challenging situation, and you see in that situation the expertise of a Vaishnava. One of the 25 qualities of a devotee is daksha, expert. Just think of this situation. Death, impending death on a wedding day. The most joyous occasion. And it all started out nice. Kamsa wanted to please his sister Devaki, and therefore he's driving the chariot. So everything is well and good. Until the voice, the unembodied voice, speaks from the sky, calling Kamsa a fool. Immediately his affection turns to the most deadly wrath. This is the way of material emotions, material love. So quickly it can turn to the opposite. And we're always surprised by that. I thought that was my friend. I thought that was my lover. I thought that was my political leader or boss at the job who appreciated me so much before he fired me or laid me off. This is the way of material emotions. Yet, we're so hungry for real love and real support and real care that we'll trust the flickering emotions of the material world. Srila Prabhupada once defined Maya in terms of how this illusory energy operates as like a mother beckoning to her child. My dear child, come onto my lap. Lay your head on my lap. And then she cuts it off. Kamsa was holding the reins of the chariot with his left hand, and in his right hand he had a whip, for urging the horses onward. Hearing that voice in the sky, He drops the reins of the chariot, drops the whip. With his left hand now, he grabs the hair of Devaki. With his right hand, he grabs his sword, and he's ready to cut off her head. And Vasudeva has to deal with this. He's cool and calm and collected under such pressure you can't imagine. Just think of yourself in that situation. Your mind would be blown. First of all, by the incredulousness of the event. How could this happen on the wedding day? That's her brother. How could he do such a thing? Yes, Vasudeva is a Kshatriya. He can handle crises. Yet this is like a crisis supreme. So he speaks coolly and calmly. He tries various methods that fall into two categories, Sama and Beda. Sama speaking pleasing words, and then Beda speaking words that induce fear. So first, Kamsa, you are such a hero. You are the jewel of the Bhoja dynasty. So in this way, Vasudeva is using the techniques stressing relationship. You're part of the dynasty. Our families are related, you know. And he's using the technique of praise. Oh, great hero. He's also using the technique in the category of Sama called identity. Think of your identity. That's your sister. You're her brother. Identify. He's using praise. You're such a hero. So he tries that. But doesn't work. Still, Vasudeva is cool and calm. He then begins to lecture so brilliantly Kamsa about the science of transmigration of the soul. Don't you know the soul changes bodies? What is your next body going to be? This is use of the technique called Beda, which has two divisions. Fear what's going to happen to you in this life, and fear of what's going to happen to you in the next life. So now, Vasudeva is deploying that tactic through logic. Through logic, he's trying to tell Kamsa, what's the use in adopting abominable activities to save your body when your body's going to be finished anyway? You're going to have to take another body, and in that way, you'll suffer so much in this life and the next. Think about it. You would think that seeing seeing and hearing about the results of impious activities would scare someone. You would even think that seeing actual death, seeing some calamity, would motivate everyone to want to think deeply about the meaning of life. You know, in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, there's that terminology, smashana vairagya, used when Hiranyakashipu was consoling the family members upon the funeral of his younger brother Hiranyaksha. And so, even Hiranyakashipu, such a demon, was speaking knowledge of how the soul is different from the body. He just left it at that. He didn't say what the soul was part of or that the soul should engage in devotional service. No, he said, the soul is different from the body. The soul moves on. That's all we demons focus on. No duties and obligations of the spirit soul. But at least Hiranyakashipu knew there was a spirit soul. But they just weren't interested. He and his crowd were not interested in surrendering to Krishna. So, Smashana Vairagya, while they're commemorating Hiranyaksha and doing the funeral, then there's deep thought. Oh, the soul is different from the body. Maybe you've seen that at funerals when you attended. Your relatives become very philosophical. Life is just a dream. you never know when it's going to end. You just don't know. Then as soon as they leave the funeral, it's back to business as usual. So that, as you know, is called smashana vairagya, cemetery renunciation. As soon as you drive away from the cemetery, all that talk is finished. But actually, only persons who have a slight bit of piety do that. What will you find so prevalent these days? It is not smashana vairagya. It is the opposite. I've heard from emergency room medical staff. And, you know, working in an emergency room at a hospital, you can imagine what you're seeing all day long. The most grotesque, horrifying, mangled bodies. So what do these emergency workers say? I've met quite a few around the world. They just tell me, seeing death right before your eyes, seeing bodily destruction, what does it make us realize? We've got to enjoy the moment even more. As Krishna says, Dvalbhuta Sarga Lokesmin, Daiva Asrayavacha. There are two types of beings in this world. Those who are of devotional consciousness and those who are of demoniac consciousness. So you would think, working in an emergency room, wow, life is temporary. What's it all about? I've got to get to the bottom of the meaning of existence. Nope. Look at the death all around me. I've got to squeeze out more pleasure from this temporary body more than ever. I'm more determined than ever to enjoy the moment. Vasudev, after using logic to present the transmigration of the soul, Tecumseh still can't break through. And so he once again switches to praising Kamsa. You're so merciful. Can you imagine telling Kamsa, you're so merciful? Still, it doesn't work. He's tried all the techniques of Sama, Beda, and now his patience is starting to be tested. He was cool and calm. Amazingly, he was cool and calm up until this point. But then he sees nothing is working. And he is in anxiety. But what kind of anxiety is Vasudev in? How to protect Krishna's mission. He's thinking, I have to save my wife. Of course, that's his duty. But even more than that, he's thinking, my wife is, as prophesied, is going to bring into the world the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I must serve Krishna's purposes. So he's feeling on the spot in that situation. He's feeling challenged in his devotional service. Remember the famous letter Srila Prabhupada wrote, instructing that every devotee should have a service that challenges him or her, so that the devotee thinks, unless I become more pure, I can't do this service. I can't achieve these goals. Therefore, I have to follow the regular principles. I have to increase the attentiveness of my chanting. It's the famous letter where Prabhupada spoke about individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. He said, I've noted that our devotees are growing weak. They're not following the principles. That's because they don't have a service that challenges them, that makes them think, unless I become more pure, how can I do this service? So Vasudev is definitely challenged. He handled it coolly and calmly in such a praiseworthy way, but now he's at the extreme moment because nothing he has said has worked. And he's thinking, Krishna must appear. I have to do my part. He wasn't lazy in the service of the Lord. Just like Arjuna. Although Arjuna is the instrument, Krishna already told him, victory or defeat's not your concern. Krishna already told him, all these soldiers will die. You act and take the victory. Still, Arjuna did his best to engage all his energies in devotional service, according to Krishna's order. He did it so consummately. He did it so thoroughly that actually the verdict is Arjuna was not fighting. What was he doing? The predominant reality was that he's following the order of Krishna. This is the mysticism, the bhakti mysticism of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna actually didn't fight. That's not the predominant reality. The predominant reality of his role in the battle of Kurukshetra is that he's carrying out the order of Krishna. Therefore, there are no reactions, and he's actually not fighting. He's just functioning as Krishna's instrument. We have to think deeply about this. When you study the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you see more and more what Krishna is talking about when he's saying that actually the soul does nothing. Arjuna did nothing? What he was doing was simply acting to the order of Krishna. With skill. With expertise. So in bhakti, we want devotees to develop skills, to develop expertise. I always tell devotees, if they ask me, say, become competent in something. If you're a pot washer, become ISKCON's greatest pot washer. If you're sweeping the sidewalk in front of the temple on Watsik Avenue, become the best at it. Krishna is watching. As we read in the end of Bhagavad Gita, whatever service you have, you think, your attitude is, I have been appointed to do this task by Krishna. Let me do it to the best of my ability. Not, well, this service isn't so praiseworthy and famous. It doesn't give me notoriety. Therefore, I'll just do it haphazardly. Or I'm not being paid for it anyway. So I'm doing this service because someone has to do it, you know. And if I don't do it, the other devotees look down on me like I'm not fired up. So, yeah, okay, I'll do it. Any service is a gateway back to Godhead. And we should try to develop our expertise and competence in as many areas as possible. We want to be seen as valuable in Krishna's service. Just like those who are working a job. There's so much pressure today. You've got to always show your value to the employer. You've got to manage, as they say, you've got to manage your personal brand. How you're seen, how you're perceived in the workplace. And you're in constant anxiety about that. You've got to always enhance your value to the business. Otherwise, they'll do away with you. We're not lazy in bhakti. We're always thinking, how can I increase my value in the eyes of Krishna? For his service. Vasudeva is now showing you expertise beyond his usual expertise. He is thinking, nothing I've said so far works. He's, as the text 53 will tell you, Vasudeva's mind was full of anxiety. Now things have changed. He's in the red zone. His wife was facing danger. Still, in order to please the cruel, shameless, and sinful Kamsa, he externally smiled and spoke to him as follows. Could you manage a smile in this situation? But for the service of Krishna, you can do amazing things. So now Vasudeva is going to switch from being complimentary, praising, lecturing about the science of the soul, inducing fear of reactions in this life and the next. Now he's going to switch to what? Duplicity. He's going to be tricky. Which is totally justified because it's for Krishna's purposes, 100%. So as Prabhupada explains in the purport, the world gets to be like this many times, complicated. And so, therefore, even a devotee, for the sake of Krishna, has to become sometimes tricky and duplicitous. Vasudeva is simply thinking, Krishna is going to appear through my wife. So I've got to save her, even beyond the ordinary impulse to save your wife. So now he's going to make a tricky proposal to Kamsa. He's going to call Kamsa, oh, best of the sober. Kamsa's totally intoxicated by anger, greed, lust. Kamsa has faith, we'll find out, in the words of Vasudeva. And Vasudeva is going to take advantage of that. Kamsa, here's my most liberal proposal. You have faith in my word? Here's what I'm going to do. Any child born of us, I'll bring to you immediately for your discretion disposal. And what is Vasudeva thinking, though? To himself, he's thinking, my first duty is to save my wife, because she's going to be the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But who knows, there may not be any sons. So I can make the promise now to deliver the children, but there may not be children. Or someone may kill Kamsa before my children are born. Or one of my children may kill Kamsa. So in any case, let me focus on saving Devaki now. And then there's so many options that can happen in the future. So therefore, he externally smiled, although he's feeling so much anxiety. He's being tricky. Kamsa will trust my word. So I've got to delay this disaster. I've got to play for time, because the inevitable will happen. Srila Prabhupada explains that Vasudeva didn't exactly know how the inevitable will happen. But he's acting on shabda, authority, sound vibration. So there you see his brilliant, beyond brilliant expertise. I was talking to some college students last night, a few from USC and one from UCLA. And I asked them, what topic do you suggest for when I speak there tonight? And they explained to me the scene that the students, they said there'll be 85-90% Indian attending the event. They're all in maximum anxiety. Here's the pressure that's on them. Their family has taken out huge loans in India so they can attend the university in the USA. The idea is that you graduate from the university in the USA, and then you've got 1 or 2 years where you can try to get a job. Otherwise, you're sent back to India. So here's the pressure. In order to get a job, you've got to be in the top 10% of your class. Otherwise, the employers don't even look at your resume. So they're under the gun in that way. We've got to not only study and graduate, we've got to be at the top, because we have to get a job when we graduate. Why? Because if we don't get a job in the USA, we go back to India and it takes a whole life to pay back the loans in India. But if we get the job in the USA, we pay back our loans in 2 years. So they told me it's a casino. Yeah. If you lose, you're wiped out. So that's the kind of pressure they're under. Not simply studying, but you've got to be at the top. And then you get the job in the USA, and you've got 1 or 2 years. Otherwise, back to India and a lifetime of debt slavery. This is the gun they're under. So they told me, naturally, what the students want to hear tonight is how bhakti does not affect their competitiveness. It will not dull the edge of their knife, so to speak. They've got that fear that you get too close to Krishna and you become useless in the material world. So they asked me to speak about how you can balance your material and spiritual affairs, and you can consider taking to devotional service. Your material career will, and your material studies will not be jeopardized. So just think of the pressure they're under. I was so sympathetic for them. They're caught. And as I said, they themselves admitted, it's a gamble. If they win big. Top of the class. Job in Silicon Valley or Los Angeles. Loans paid back in 2 years with the U.S. dollar. If they lose, oh my God. It'll take all your life to pay back the loans in India. And their parents are pressuring them with, you know, exhorting them. The parents are telling all their relatives and neighbors, our son, he's in Los Angeles, UCLA. By the time he's 30, he'll be CEO. So it's all piling on them. Yeah, we laugh, but you can't imagine, you know, the gun they're living under. Yet, to their credit, they'll show up at a university program, at least for the prasad. So my sympathy, my compassion really quadrupled for them. So reading this section about Vasudev, how he showed just unparalleled expertise, I thought, how can anyone think that bhakti reduces your practical abilities? In fact, your practical abilities increase. So many devotees can testify that by engaging in Krishna's service, abilities they never knew manifested. Especially as one advances in bhakti, just by concentrating on trying to serve Krishna, so many new abilities are discovered. So many new skills are developed. This is the most exciting career. Somehow or other, engage in Krishna's service according to your ashram, and then mam eti so Arjuna, upon giving up the present body, you go to where Krishna is having his pastimes in a particular universe, and then you become trained up to join Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Ευχαριστώ.